Hello, listeners. Welcome to Randomosity. I am your host, Rand. Last time I watched a movie, and I'm going to pull up what movie I watched because it's been a while, but the last movie that I watched for the random review I did was 2010's horror disaster, This Is the End. And as you can tell, it wasn't my favorite, so I wouldn't suggest it. It's not for everybody, and it definitely wasn't for me, and it was one of those movies that I felt just was a waste of time. And at the end of the viewing of this movie, I rolled a 1980s action slash adventure film with a monster as a villain, and it's zombies. And what I got was Night of the Comet, 1984. And I'm going to talk about it in depth after we take a little break. And we'll just delve into that. Alright, I'm back. And the movie that we're going to be talking about is Night of the Comet from 1984. This movie is PG-13, apparently. And he was probably given that rating, but PG-13 wasn't really invented until, like, 1985. But maybe it was, like, one of the first to just snuck under the radar for, like, PG-13 movies. I don't know. It's an hour and 35 minutes, and it is available to watch on Pluto TV as well as on YouTube, if you can find it on YouTube for free. You just have to search it and it'll pop up. It currently has a 6.3 star on IMDb. And I'm just going to talk about it for a while. It paints the scene as like there's a comet that's about to... There's like a meteor shower that's going to go over Earth and people are excited to see it. There's like two sides to it. There's people that are excited to see the meteor shower that's going to happen or the comet that's going to happen. And some that are not, that they should like evacuate, like stay in their homes and find a safe place because it might kill everybody and stuff. So we saw both sides of that, but we mostly saw the people that were just partying so they can see the comet. And we're following this girl. Her name is Regina. She's the main character in this one. Excuse me. And what's happening is she's having some struggles with her mom and her stepmom and her dad, and not enjoying life because she feels that her parents are making it miserable for her, and that she's under a strict like a leash. That she can't do a whole lot of things, so then when that happens, she becomes rebellious and wants to hang out with guys late at night and do some stuff. I'm not going to go into detail with that. But, so, well, it's the night of the comet hitting, and the main character, she spends the night in a theater. She works at a theater, but she spends a night there with a guy because apparently they're having, like, a late night showing of a movie, and they had to be, just stay there until then, and then she spent the night with a co-worker, and then the comet hit. And then all of a sudden, so spoiler alert if you haven't seen this, but it basically kills everybody. Well, most of everybody. People who were outside, it was killed. But it was kind of like a War of the Worlds type of kill. You would see their clothes all over on the streets, and all that's left are just dust from the people that used to wear those clothes. So I wonder if that's what gave the War of the Worlds inspiration to do that with the laser hitting people and destroying everything but their clothes. So it's kind of weird that that happened. So it's like, well, if you have those clothes, you'll survive, maybe. I mean, and it makes you wonder, like, what type of material did those clothes have back in the 80s, and did it survive the comet or something? I don't know. It's just something that just like it's very selective on what is destroyed. So carbon-based life forms, anything like that, that's destroyed, and but the material that the carbon-based life forms wear are okay. I don't know, doesn't make sense. So, anywho, what ends up happening is there are a few survivors, or even some scientists that have survived, and they're trying to find other survivors. And then our main character, Regina, and her sister, Samantha, are the only ones in the town that have survived, and they run into some other survivors. But the ones that, I guess they didn't become dust, became zombies. So that's where the zombies come into play, that there are some zombies, but it's rare. But they're not like mindless zombies. They're like, they're self-aware zombies, so they know that they are decaying and stuff like that, but they are talking, they're growling or being mad and stuff, so they're basically functionally brain functional talking zombies, and they want meat, apparently, so they want to eat flesh, so that's what's happening, and they're attacking that way, but you only see very little people with that. Like there's like a little quarrel with the main character and with these like talking zombies, but it's really rare. So zombies are like really small part of this. Like they're just the aftermath. They're just basically the small storm, if you will. The real conflict of interest happened to be, again, spoiler, it was the scientists. Like there are some good scientists, some bad scientists. The bad scientists wanted to I guess, what is the word? They wanted to harvest the survivors and use their blood or organs so they can better humanity, I guess. They thought that what they were doing was for the good of mankind, but it wasn't, because they're killing young children. These survivors, and most of them were young children, because they wanted to harvest their blood and do that. So I'm like, what were the scientists thinking? So then you're like, you're rooting for, you're not rooting for the scientists anymore. You're now rooting for the main character, as you should for each film. Like you want the main character to survive, and they did, evidently. But it was kind of like a weird 80s movie that they, and it was just like any other like zombie movie, if you notice, like even a TV show. The zombies are just a storm. Like, if you can fight through it, you'll be okay. And the real conflict are like us as human beings. And so the conflict of interest or the villain wasn't necessarily the zombies, because they couldn't. There were some like bad ones that were like wanting to kill the girls. And yeah, there was like a scene in the mall where they did that, and that was it. But then you notice later on that the main villain was basically the scientists, the government, if you will. So it's like the subtle thing is like, yes, we gotta run away from the storm and everything, but we gotta worry about the government. That's what I got from this, is like the whole theme of this is the government and the scientists are what's to blame, and the things that happen naturally we can't control, but we should just like try to survive with or without it. That's what I got from the movie, so that was an interesting motif that it had. And then we're gonna take a little break, and I'm gonna talk about if this movie would be worth watching, and also I'm gonna talk about some upcoming movies that I have watched. And I'm also going to be going over a movie. Like, I would roll the dice and find out what movie I'm going to be watching for our next episode. So stay tuned, my friends. Okay, I'm back. And for this movie, Night of the Comet, after watching it and reviewing it, it has some good motifs in there, and it was interesting, but it fell short of what I would consider to be like a good film. So out of 10 10 stars, I give it a 4. Not as good, not as bad. Would I watch it again? No, not really. It's not my cup of tea. And I was kind of misled, because when I was like looking for zombie movies that had to be that fit with what I was looking for when I rolled the dice, there wasn't a lot of zombies, and the zombies were talking, so it wasn't like The Walking Dead where they're like growling and trying to eat your brains or just devour you completely. It wasn't like that. So I was just, it was kind of like false advertising. I was like, really? This is what I watched? Okay, whatever. But I will say it was a little bit better than This Is the End, as far as like story and plot, like, but This Is the End is like really crude humor, and I wouldn't watch it again as far as like an apocalyptic type of movie. And yeah, that's what I would do. Let's see. As far as like rolling for the next movie I'm going to be watching, what I ended up rolling, let me pull this up here really quick. So this will be for our next episode. I rolled a two. So, like I said in some other episodes, like I would roll for the decade the movie was released, the genre that it has, the villain or conflict of interest. So what I rolled was a two, and I got a 1960s for the year it was released. And then I rolled another two, and I got comedy. And I rolled a four, and that was going to be the anti-hero, was going to be the villain or conflict of interest. So I was scrolling along and trying to figure out what movie I would like to watch that would be available to me. There's a 1966 Batman. That's a possibility of watching that. And then there's Little Shop of Horrors from 1969. And then there's The Pink Panther from 1964. All really good choices, and they're available to watch on the streaming services that I have available, which I will put in the link below for the next episode. So let's take a look. Which one should I watch? Because these are movies I haven't seen. I know, I'm working off a list of things that I haven't seen, and I want to see if these movies would be worth watching and worth my time. So far, I am torn on Little Shop of Horror or The Pink Panther. I watched the Pink Panther series with my mom a long time ago, or at least I think it was a movie. So I'm not quite sure. I can't remember if I watched the first movie or we just dived into the series and just watched the series of episodes. I can't remember. So, but I did enjoy watching them. It was really comedic, and I thought that they were better than the remake that had Steve Martin in it. So I'm leaning towards that, and it has a 7 out of 10 stars on IMDb. And Little Shop of Horrors has, well, this one doesn't have a rating yet. Well, I'll double check on that one later. But I'm drawn to that. I wouldn't mind watching Batman either. Like, I wouldn't mind watching any of these, but I have to pick one, which is the hard part. So, I think I will stick with, I'll do Batman. So for next episode, I'll do Batman and watch that. And I'll do a review of that one. And let's go from there. So again, thank you for listening to my show. Thank you for being support. And I'll get more of those radio plays ready for you, as well as updates on my book that I'm writing, the books that I'm writing. I've got a variety of books that I'm writing. And I'll keep you posted on that. As of now, stay tuned, support me, and toodles.
You have just listened to an episode produced by Randomosity. The stories are written and recorded by yours truly, Rand Einfeldt. Randomosity is available on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Listen Notes, Audible, Player.fm, and many more. So stay tuned, my friends. Please support the podcast on these venues as well as on the Patreon page at www.patreon.com /randomosity.